Gay at 8 p.m. and get in your jammies at 10.
The show must go on.
With the show. Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht.
And Linda Evans.
Welcome to another edition of See You at the Show, where we'll be talking about the hottest things going on in the CU theater scene. And once again, we have an opening night cast attendance, which is unusual.
Is it unusual if it's once again? Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, but one of the things that we've always talked about is having this time slot of Thursday at 5:30, when a lot of shows open on Thursday nights, is that it is difficult. But I guess it's a tribute to us that directors like Patty Dudley know that See You at the Show is going to bring enthusiasm to the community, bring people into the theater, right?
Or maybe they just like to spend time with us. So.
Maybe.
But we'll get right into this.
Yeah, so let's get into this.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang at the Virginia Theater tonight. And probably our most frequent guest is here in the studio with us. Once again, Patty Dudley. How are you doing, Patty?
I'm nervous. It's opening night, but I'm very excited. We have some very, very special things that we've never done before, an excellent cast, and I'm really looking forward to see the parents and community's reaction to the show. So it's fun, but I'm nervous.
Have you ever done Chitty Chitty Bang Bang before?
I haven't. And by the way, it's Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Junior, just so you know. It's an hour program, and there'll be a 15-minute intermission. But no, I haven't ever done it. And so it's been a real challenge for me. Lots of props, huge, huge set. And we have an iconic Chitty car that one of the parents built us.
Go ahead.
Okay. I've seen this car. Well, not in person, but I've seen the picture of it. Who deserves the credit? You can't just anonymously say one of the parents.
David Fazio is the father of Jemima, who's in the show, who's the little girl that's the lead. And he had the challenge, wanted to do it, thought it was going to be fun. He took off a whole week of work and worked on the car, had help. Garrett Gengler also helped, and Steve Hong. So there are several people that helped, but he was the main person who drew out all the plans and made it happen. So I'm very proud of him.
Did he design it himself?
He designed it. He took pictures from the show, from the movie, and then designed it and, you know, figured out this has to be 8 feet long, this has to be 12 feet, I need this much wood. So he was the engineer, so to speak, as well as the designer. And then we all pitched in to make it happen, but it was mainly him.
Well, it's spectacular. And what are you going to do with a piece like that when it gets done? I mean, do you pass it on to other shows? Do you make it known that you have it?
I will put it on Facebook and any other place that I can think of. We would like to sell it, especially I don't have any place to store it. It's 12 feet long, and, you know, we have a build site, and we do 5 shows a year. So I don't want to tear, I will not tear it apart, but I'd love for somebody else to take advantage and use it. And so we'll either sell it or lend it, or I don't know.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car, let me know.
When I was in Little Prince back in 2011, Parkland College built an airplane that was so beautiful. And as the aviator, I just fell in love with the airplane. And when they couldn't come up with anything to do with it, and it was the same thing, it's too big to store. I was like, this is a museum piece. I mean, and then when they took it apart, it just broke my heart. So that's not going to happen with the car, though, right?
I am not going to take it apart. And yes, I know exactly how you feel emotionally about it. We put a lot of hours in it. About 150 hours went into the entire set, and that was probably close to 100 hours. So yeah, we're going to do something with it, but I'm just going to have to put it out there and put the pictures out there.
So Zane and Summer, we'll get to you guys. So you guys, have you ever seen the movie? Because Eric and I were just discussing that we've only seen the movie. We've never seen the actual show. So, and you guys are so young. Have either one of you seen the movie?
I've seen the movie several times, actually. I'm a huge fan of old musical movies. It's one of my favorite, like, come home from school, study, watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang while writing a paper, doing math homework. I did it a lot in middle school.
Now we know why you were such a fan of Mary Poppins, I suppose, right?
Yes.
And you were Mary Poppins, is that right?
Yes. Back in, I think, 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were excellent, by the way. And we also have Zane, you're a celebrity because you're coming off of a great turn in Frozen Junior as
Hans, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine that do you have any sort of an accent working for you in this show, or are you just playing it straight?
In this show, actually, the entire cast is using either a British accent or a Bulgarian accent. I am personally using a British accent, though.
Bulgarian is a made-up country. It's kind of like Bulgaria, but in the show, it's a Vul with a V, Garian.
And do they only speak profanities, or what is Bulgarian? This is supposed to be for kids.
I know. It's a junior show. What's right. going on? So, how do you decide what's a Bulgarian accent?
Well, we just did it like a Bulgarian accent with the V's and the almost Russian flavor with instead of a B, we say V and that kind of thing. So, and they're doing a great job.
How big is your cast?
We have 45 in the cast. And then we have lots and lots, as you know, you've both been in our program, lots and lots of parent volunteers. So there's a lot of people in the building right now.
So I saw some bootleg video last night of some great dance scenes. I won't tell who the parent was because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But there seems to be some pretty interesting dancing in this show. Who's the choreographer?
Well, the choreographer is Jacob Glidden. It's his first time with us. And I challenged him, and he challenged the kids, and it turned out great. They had a lot of fun. The music is fun, so the dances are fun to dance to. I mean, the music is fun to dance to. So, yeah, there's some catchy little things in there.
Okay. And so, Summer, tell us about your character.
I play Truly Scrumptious, and she's the daughter of Lord Scrumptious, who's the owner of a sweet factory. And she meets Cracticus Potts one day when her motorcycle breaks down, and they're at first kind of rude to each other. And
vulgar, perhaps.
Yeah. Eventually, they end up becoming friends. Yeah.
Do you have a motorcycle, too?
Yeah.
Oh, are we allowed to talk about
that? That's okay. It's an old Schwinn bike that's a beautiful color. It's probably from the, I'm going to think maybe 70s, maybe 80s. And we put a little motor on it, and then we have a sound effect to make it sound like it's a motor.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's cute. And so, Zane, tell us about your character. Who are you?
My character in this show is Caractacus Potts, and that is a mouthful to say. but he is at Mr. Coggins' garage, buying a part with his two children, Jeremy and Jemima. And then Truly Scrumptious goes flying across the stage on her motorbike. And I meet up with her, and at first we're a little rude, as Summer said. And then we later become more friends, and then my father gets kidnapped, and, you know, all those types of good things.
Wow, and all this happens in an hour?
Yes.
Wow, okay. This is jam-packed.
Yeah, so the song that you're going to sing for us is called Music Box, and it seems like it happens fairly late in the show. What's the setup for this song? What's happening here?
We are trying to break into the Bulgarian castle to save Caractacus's father. So the only way to get in is by dressing up as toys for presents for the Baron because it's his birthday. So we're posing as toys.
All right. Well, let's hear this. I will cue the music. Are you ready to do some singing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you see? You people gazing at me. You see a doll on a music box that's wound by a key. How can you tell? I'm under a spell. I'm waiting for love's first kiss. You cannot see how much I long to be free. Turning around on this music box that's wound by a key. Thank you.
truly scrumptious. You're truly, truly scrumptious. Scrumptious as a cherry peat parfait. When you're near me, it's so delicious. Honest, truly, you're the answer to my wishes. Truly scrumptious, though I may seem presumptuous. Never, never, ever go away. My heart beats so unruly because I love you truly. Honest, truly, I do.
Well, I don't think I've ever clapped in the studio before, but that was
that
really
was beautiful.
Great, guys.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She actually is in a music box, and we have a turntable where she is actually turning around. So it's a nice little effect there for the audience to see.
Is it hard for you to sing while you're turning around?
No, not really. It's more like the doll movements that are so like very stiff that it makes it hard for me to breathe and sing properly.
Right.
But it's pretty good. It's fun.
You both have great voices. Do you have a voice teacher in town?
I have a voice teacher, yes. I'm studying with Janet Robb.
Uh-huh.
I do not.
You do not? Okay.
Where do you go to school and what grades are you in?
I go to Champaign Centennial High School and I'm in 10th grade.
And I go to Judah Christian High School and I'm also in 10th grade.
Okay. And do you participate in the musicals at Centennial summer?
Yes, I have been in a few musicals at Centennial.
Most recently being?
Last show I was in was The Sound of Music last spring.
Okay.
I played Sister Margaretta.
Well, Patty, you're definitely benefiting from moving up your grade divisions and being able to use some of the high school talent in town with your younger kids.
Yes, about a year ago, I changed the age group to 6th to 10th graders. So we have a great variety of grades. We also have 7 different communities that are enrolled, students that are enrolled in our show, so we're excited about that. But the music's fun. People are going to not like me because they're going to walk out of there with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang in their heads when they walk out the door, but I can guarantee it's going to be lots of fun. It's so much funnier than the movie. I just really like the play.
So you open tonight. Is it at 7 or 7:30?
It's at 7, so it's tonight, Friday and Saturday at 7, and then Saturday at 2 p.m. there's a matinee.
Okay, well, you're probably already called over to the set right now, right? Over
yeah.
at the Virginia? So I will play you out with some Chitty Chitty Bang Bang just in case anybody needs to really get this in their head to get motivated to see it.
Okay, thank you to both of you for
Thanks
having
for
us
coming.
In.
Break legs, guys.
Thank you.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, we love you. And in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, what we'll do, near, far, in a motor car, oh, what a happy time we'll spend. Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, our fine four-fendered friend. Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, our fine four-fendered friend.
Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang,
oh, you pretty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, we love you. And in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, what we'll do, near, far, in a motor car, oh, what a happy time we'll spend. Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, our fine four-fendered friend. Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, our fine four-fendered friend.
You're sleek as a thoroughbred.
Your seats are a feathered bed.
You'll turn everybody's head to
me. I'm always amazed by the young talent we have in this community. I mean, the older talent too, but it's just amazing.
I didn't think I was going to be amazed, but I came away amazed yet
really?
Again. And also
yeah.
just to sit here, because we're not, like when they do WEF sessions and stuff, it's set up outside in the main area standing up. And these are just, I mean, these kids are just sitting down in desk chairs singing along with a DVD or CD, whatever, and it just sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that was really nice.
So that was Zane Coulter and Summer Hollis. They are with the Champaign Park District's junior theater program opening tonight at the Virginia Theater is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang at 7 o'clock, and they have a four-show run going through Saturday. That's not the only show opening up this weekend, though. We also have Machinal, which we featured, was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
I think it was last week.
Really? It's been a long week.
Do you think it's 2 weeks? Yeah. Anyway, we have that. You can access the archive for that on weft.org.
Right. Correct? And so that's going on in the second stage over at Parkland, and it is a free show. They have performances at 7:30 Friday night, and then a 3 o'clock matinee on Saturday, followed by a 7:30 evening show on Saturday.
Right. And then they move to the IMC, the Independent Media Center in Urbana, for the next weekend, and again do Friday and two shows on Saturday.
And that's a free show. We can't usually talk about prices, right. but it's free. And yeah. It's directed by June Clark Eubanks, and the entire cast is Parkland students, not all just acting students. But
and they did everything from costumes to the set to everything.
So. Yeah, and it's a play written by a woman back in 1928 about a very sensational event, a murder execution that happened in 1927. And the way that June is decided to direct this and present this just sounds really, amazing. I can't wait.
And the set is very different, too. It's very minimal, and there's a huge kind of, I don't even know what to say. It's just one big picture as the backdrop of the play.
So, and everybody's going to come in thinking that they're going to see an electric chair, and they're not.
And they're not, yeah.
Right.
No, it's going to be very different.
Yeah, and so she's going to talk about the gender. I mean, I think it's going to portray some really interesting gender issues and the evolution of that over 9 decades.
And I think we're going to try to see it Saturday at 2.
Right? Is it 2? Okay, I misidentified it.
Is it 2 or 2:30? Wait. It's 3. Sorry. There's like too many numbers.
I've been doing this longer than you, so maybe you should just let what I say stand. Okay.
We're going at 3, and then I'm going to go to I Hate Hamlet. And we have Katie Burke in the studio today, who's the director of I Hate Hamlet, which has become a favorite of mine as I've seen it over and over again at the Station Theater. Hi, Katie.
Welcome to see you at the show,
Thanks
Katie.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
And we've had several people come in and talk about I Hate Hamlet, but it's so nice to have the director here. And do you want to talk a little bit about why, what's special about I Hate Hamlet?
Sure. So the play was written in 1991. A bit of an older play, so in order to root it in the context of when it was written, I've decided to take a little 90s spin on the play. So the play itself is about Andrew Raleigh. He's an actor who's recently moved to New York, and he's going to play Hamlet, not super happy about that. So it's kind of interesting because it blends time and space. It all takes place in this one apartment that he moves into, which happens to be the former residence of John Barrymore. So there's a lot of time and space being brought together in this sort of mystical play. And I thought rooting it in the 90s would be a fun way to bring some life into the play. So you see the 90s through the costume pieces, the props. My favorite prop is the Sony Walkman that plays.
Yes.
It really plays.
It really does
play. And is he actually playing it when he comes in?
Yeah. And
now
he's,
he being Jace Jameson.
Yes, who plays Gary.
Yeah.
Yes. Jace plays Gary Peter Lefkowitz, who is a fan favorite of the show, it seems. Even though he's
Jace
probably,
has a way of doing that.
He does have a way of doing it. Gary's probably the sleaziest character in the show, but he's definitely like a cool LA guy. He's got that working Sony Walkman, and that's actually Jace's. Jace has been super instrumental in getting some of these props.
Hard to find props.
He has a real knack for that, especially weapons.
Right. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. That's actually how I met Jace, was through renting weapons. So he was able to find that Walkman for us, and he was also able to get us this sort of authentic huge brick phone where you can touch the numbers and it actually makes sound out of the device. And believe it or not, it is a working phone. It is real.
He said that either the phone batteries or the Walkman batteries are the the batteries that have been sitting in there for years.
I believe
since
it.
You got it.
It's
got
to be the phone batteries, I think.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the Walkman.
I think it's the Walkman.
Yeah.
Because he recently bought the phone, actually, from China for like $16
or something.
Oh, right.
So it has to be the Walkman because he said it was in his parents' basement or something. And it has the...
That's awesome. He's too young to even like have had his own Walkman, I would think.
I don't know. I don't think so.
His. Yeah.
I mean, when I was younger, we had transitioned out of it, but we were at least listening to CD players, which was, I feel like, the natural step after the Walkman.
Right.
So,
who did your costumes, Katie?
Yeah, so Sherry Doyle did the costumes. I work with Sherry all the time. She's the head of costumes at Parkland College. She's an amazing resource for costumes. Fabulous seamstress. One of the highlights of the show, other than the fun 90s pieces she was able to pull, was the authentic costumes that she built for Barrymore. So we wanted to take a more realistic approach to the costuming of Barrymore. So we took a nice look at some of the pictures of him. Luckily, there's tons of pictures. Unfortunately, no video because this was 1921, I think, when he was playing this role. And she was able to create a gorgeous sort of, I don't know, it's a long, flowy black Hamlet shirt that you wouldn't necessarily think right off the bat Hamlet, but it serves the play really well. And I also have Andrew wearing a similar costume piece, sort of like an off-brand look of the Barrymore Hamlet.
It looks so much better on Kevin, though, I have to say.
I think I know that I'm cute, like,
you know, a fan of him in this role, but he actually really wears that well.
He rocks it.
I think, is that... Do I have the quote right that he calls it Peter Pan, but for evening?
That's what Misty calls it.
Yeah. So Felicia, the real estate agent, played by Misty Martin.
She
sort of pops in and does whatever she wants.
I think my review, I didn't quote her.
I misattributed
that.
Yeah. She does say like, oh, you're so cute. You look like Peter Pan, but for evening. And
it is one of her favorite. Misty has some really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all do. They have some funny quotes, but Misty has some great ones.
Her character, too, is just... you're kind of like, why are you here? So she starts off the play, she's the real estate agent or the broker, and then later she comes back for opening night, and then it turns out she falls in love with sleazy, you know, Gary.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, a little bit of a spoiler alert. But it was just kind of funny. I've been like, how do we ground this character? She's so strange. She just appears whenever she wants
There's so much just like happenstance coincidence that happens. It's a little bit, you know, suspending belief, but of course, so is a ghost coming back.
Absolutely.
To his apartment.
And he's such a nice ghost. It's such a sweet, it's not like a ghost story. It's just a funny, fun show.
I wouldn't say it's a ghost story. I know it's described that way. And I'd say it's more of a story of a mentor his, you know, a peer that he's trying to coach, but also, you know, he's trying to get something out of it, too. So there's a little narcissism coming from Barrymore.
Yeah,
as well.
there's a lot. Gary has a lot of narcissism, too. So it's interesting to see Barrymore kind of grow, even though he's a ghost. And as he deals with Andrew and teaches Andrew, you can kind of see some growth in him.
And then
when he meets up with an old flame of his, you definitely see there's been some growth there.
One of the things that really struck me about it was that the defense that he makes of Shakespeare, because he's got so obviously it's called I Hate Hamlet. And so at one point, Andrew says those very words. They're served up, I Hate Hamlet. And so then Barrymore's job is, I guess, to convince him not to or to appreciate it in Shakespeare. And so I came out of there like actually more of a Shakespeare fan because I was kind of converted as he was being converted. I thought it was like so well done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, definitely. You see Andrew start to appreciate the text for what it is. And he says, not only have I found an appreciation for the text, but for the first time, I have finished the play, which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts. Yeah.
Right. Well, Linda, you've been there almost every night as the producer of this show.
Yeah,
it's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
It's been my pleasure to be there. It's so much fun.
Have you noticed an evolution of the performances at all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we probably did it the fastest we've ever done it last night.
Really?
And it's because it's different once you have people in there and laughing, and people will laugh at different places. And the actors have gotten really good at waiting, you know, letting the people laugh and not talking over it. But it's different every night. Mm-hmm. So you don't know. You can't just be like, oh, I know to wait for a laugh here. because it doesn't, you know, different audiences will laugh at different things, and some audiences just laugh the entire time.
And some not at all.
Right. So, well, I mean, I haven't heard any that don't laugh at all, but, you know, it changes how long the play is a little bit too, because you have to wait a little bit.
Yeah. Well, last weekend, Katie, I asked Linda how one of the shows had gone, and she said, I was in the lobby the whole time, but it sounded like they were just doing a laugh track the whole time.
Yeah.
It was 2 hours.
It sounded like a sitcom
nonstop
laugh
laughing.
Because it was just so perfect and everybody was laughing, because sometimes you'll hear that one person that stands out, Thomas. He was the lead in How I Learned to Drive. When he comes, you can tell he's in the audience. But the audience the other day, they were just in perfect harmony and really enjoying it. And everybody comes out smiling and really happy and wanting to talk to the actors. And we had a talk back for this show, which I was so glad that Katie did that, and people have asked for more after doing that.
Yeah, I love to have talkbacks. I didn't do one for my last show, Mamma Mia, but I did one before for my play, Silent Sky. We had a panel of women in science come talk about the show, which was really cool. This one was more of a Q&A for any of the audience members. We had some AP English students from Jace's former high school in the audience, so they stayed after to listen to some of the things we had to say, and it was a really nice afternoon. Yeah. I thought
that's great. I don't think we do that enough at the station.
Yeah, we should do
and
it more.
Should do that more. Yeah, because I saw Taming of the Shrew, I brought with me a woman who's on the faculty in the English department, and who's a Shakespeare expert, and it was just really fun to watch the show with her. And I imagine that having her as part of a panel would have been great,
Like
what you did for Silent Sky.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think more directors and just shows in general should look into having more audience interaction.
Right.
Because a lot of people just want to know even some of the most basic questions to actors, like how hard is it to stay in character, you know, things that just people might not know. So it's great to share as much as we can. I think theater in itself is a learning experience. So why not tack onto it a little bit more learning?
Right. I mean, sometimes you just have to know, is that a rolled up sock or what's going on here? Right.
It's not. You'll get that if you
see
it.
You'll have to come see the show to get that.
So, Katie, anything coming up next for you and on your directing plate?
Yeah, coming up next, actually immediately after we open this show, it's nice to hear about the day-to-day of the show since I'm not always there as a director with a 13, show run. Yeah. You're not always there. I'm already in meetings for my next project, which will be The Music Man. That is for Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, and that will be in August. I think it's the first and second full weekends in August. And audition information will be coming up for that soon. I'm anticipating that to be in April. Really looking forward to it. I'm definitely a musical person, so I'm looking forward to sort of getting back to my roots. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Do you have a team put together for that yet?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
A lot of new people that I haven't worked with before. Actually, most of my team is all new people I've not worked with before. I've not worked for the company, Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, before. And they're really hoping, to get new people through the doors. So it's a really exciting experience to build a team from the ground up and come into it and bring some fresh energy.
Well, you certainly did a great job with Mamma Mia. I think
Thank you.
Was one of, I've seen a lot of great musicals at the station, but that definitely was one of them. Such an incredible cast, such great energy was in that little space.
You
put such a big show. I wish that I could have done a behind the scenes in the in backstage, though, because I don't know how the people per square foot, the ratio is just insane.
It was a lot. There was 15 people in the show. And if you know the station theater's backstage, there's really not one. So it was right. a lot of coordination. I had an awesome stage manager who was really good. Her name is Amy Hoke. At just managing the backstage. Luckily, as a director, that's not always my problem.
Right.
Yeah.
So and you had the orchestra or the instrumentalists and everything. It was really amazing.
Yeah, they were in the lobby.
And then for I Hate Hamlet, you used the space in a completely different way, but again, larger than life.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the set.
The set is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Shout out to Graham Luthan. Yeah. He is a designer from campus, and he did Illini Student Musicals work, and he's amazing. So really shout out to him, and shout out to the entire team of I Hate Hamlet. Thank you guys so much.
And when you have auditions, let us know.
We'll do.
Definitely. Yeah. And so I Hate Hamlet continues tonight at 7:30 at the station, and then the next two nights at 7:30. And right now you should be running off to get to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, 7 o'clock. Coming up next, Surfability Freakout. Linda, another great show.
I'll be at I Hate Hamlet.
So yeah, come by and say hi. Once again.
Yep.
All right. Join us next week on CU at the Show for more excitement of the CU theater scene.